Good afternoon. Welcome to this hour of In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Rita Halk Lane, and I'm very happy to spend this hour with you. I really am. May the Lord bless us and look kindly upon us in this time that we are together.
Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us.
Oops. This is our day of prayer in many ways. And normally, you know, Kathleen's here and somebody can take the calls and pray with you. And since I'm new at this, I'm a little not trained or comfortable doing that yet. But please, please, we want to pray for you. And I will pray over the radio for you. Please, if you need, you have any prayer requests, call 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, and Maureen will take your prayer requests and give them to me, and then I will pray for you. We're happy to pray for you, so please don't feel funny because Kathleen's not here or something. You please call, all right? This weather is so confusing, but so beautiful, and I just thank the Lord for it. Fall is my favorite season. It's kind of funny because I grew up in Florida and in Southern California, and I moved here many years ago because I wanted the four seasons, and I really wanted snow. I still love snow. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but it's true. I love autumn. I can't believe the colors because I didn't have them where I grew up. So thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time of year and for the freshness that's in the air. You probably know, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Pope Francis, because of the situation in the Middle East and the, frankly, around the world, he sent out this notice early October, and he said, I've decided to declare Friday, October 27th, as a day of fasting, penance, and prayer for peace. And he goes on to say, I invite the various Christian confessions, members of other religious, and all who hold the cause of peace in the world at heart to participate. So today has been a huge, I think of it as a holy day, because whenever the people of the world get together to pray for good things, to me, is a holy day, because prayer brings great grace. And so there have been a lot of prayer services all day long on TV as well as at the Vatican. And I hope and pray that our other Christian brothers and sisters have prayed too. And if you didn't know about it, please pray for the rest of the evening and everything. And I have a prayer that Pope Francis wrote and for this day, and I want to pray it as part of our participation in this World Day of Prayer for Peace. So please join me in your hearts in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God of peace, hear our prayer. We've tried so many times and over so many years to resolve our conflicts by our own powers and by the force of our arms. How many moments of hostility and darkness have we experienced? How much blood has been shed? How many lives have been shattered? How many hopes have been buried? But our efforts have been in vain. Now, Lord, please come to our aid. Grant us peace. Teach us peace. Guide our steps in the way of peace. Open our eyes and our hearts and give us the courage to say, never again war. With war, everything is lost. Instill in our hearts the courage to take concrete steps to achieve peace. Lord God of Abraham, God of the prophets, God of love, you created us and you call us to live as brothers and sisters. Give us the strength daily to be instruments of peace. Enable us to see everyone who crosses our path as our brother or sister. Make us sensitive to the plea of our citizens who entreat us to turn our weapons of war into implements of peace, our trepidation into confident trust, and our quarreling into forgiveness. Keep alive within us the flame of hope, so that with patience and perseverance we may opt for dialogue and reconciliation. In this way may peace triumph at last, and may the words division, hatred, and war be banished from the heart of every man and woman. Lord, diffuse the violence of our tongues and our hands. Renew our hearts and minds so that the word which always brings us together will be brother, and our way of life will always be that of shalom, peace, and salam. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it's funny. I started thinking about, there's very few people in the world that don't want peace. There's people who live on violence, but I'm not referring to them. I'm talking about the rest of us who are just normal people who really wish to have peace in our lives and in the world. So I started thinking maybe we could focus a little bit on that today. I'd like to get into that a little bit. The world is in chaos right now. It's amazing. It's like a virus that's broken out around the world, and it's very unsettling. It's what the heck is going on here kind of thing. And but at the same time, if you study the history in the Bible, the scriptures, study them. If you study history, if you look around you right now, this is nothing new. I hate to say it, but it's nothing new. All through the scriptures, all through human history, there has always been this push for violence and power and hatred and anger. And we just never seem to learn from it. One of the things I'm concerned about these days is there's a push around this country anyway, I don't know about in other countries, to cancel history. Evil things happen in history, so I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. Somebody might have done some good, but they did something bad in their life, so I'm canceling them. Well, I'm sorry, folks. If we don't learn our history, if we don't focus on the mistakes that we've made and ponder them and learn not to make those mistakes again, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. And I think part of that's what's happening now. But there's always been this push for arguing and conquering and all this sort of thing. And it's been worse at times in history. I remember when Putin invaded Ukraine. I couldn't believe it. In this day and time, with all of the intelligence that we are, you know, we're all smart and we're all educated and we've learned to just get along to a degree. How can this happen? Well, it's nothing new, folks. It's nothing new. One thing that we know as Christians is that if we've studied our history, when things start going really, really wrong in the world, it's because peoples, nations, and the world forget God. They turn away from Him. They seek worldly things and power. They get filled up with themselves and their egos, and they start worshiping their intelligence, their science, this and that and everything, and look what I've done, and I'd like to have that country over there or whatever, and it creates a lot of heartache. And The way the Lord works is we are not slaves. We have choices. So we can choose to live with him or we can choose to live without him. He's always present. In fact, some people think, where is God right now? Has he forgotten us? Does he even exist? He must have forgotten us, you know, because the world wouldn't be like this if he really loved us. Well, no, folks. If you study scripture and you study history, he is always there in our personal lives and in world history and world events. He's always, always there. But he waits for us. It's not he that turns against us. It's we who turn against him. Now, I'm not talking about the faithful ones who are living and loving the Lord and doing his holy will. I'm talking about the world at large. You know, what happens is when you turn away from him, you know, you kind of tie his hands. He's there. He maintains things to a degree. But when you turn away from him, he says, all right, you don't want me. Well, have at it. Here's, you want it that way? Well, go ahead. I respect your choices, you know, but he's not happy with them. But he has to let us learn lessons. And the way he lets us learn lessons is when we say no, he listens and he backs up a little bit and he lets us have our own way. If you think this is new, what's going on now, go look in your Bible and find the book of Judges, all right? In the book of Judges, you'll read over and over again in that book, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, in their own eyes. What had happened was the people decided they got full of themselves. They thought they were, you know, just, you know, all that. And they turned away from God. They did their own thing. If it feels good, do it. You can't tell me what to do. I'm doing what I want to do. And everybody will just get along. Well, it never works that way. He gives us over to our own desires. And we are built for relationship with God. As individuals and as peoples, we are built to be in union with him, in relationship with him. Remember when Jesus, the disciples, said, you know, Lord, teach us to pray. What were the first two words out of his mouth other than pray this way? Our Father, not, oh, great and mighty God, oh, great and mighty leader. Oh, fierce and noble one, you know, no, our Father. Father, folks. Jesus himself said, call God Father, because God is a Father. He is not just a mighty God. He wants relationship with us, and that's He wants it so much that he sent his only son to come here and teach us that, reveal that more fully. Because, you know, there were times when people thought, and even today, some people think he's just this big judging being who doesn't love. He's just looking around, waiting to pounce on us for our sins and all this. Well, it's the exact opposite. He loves us. He stands there waiting for us. He wants us more than we could ever imagine. And so he wants a relationship with us. And when we say no, he knows that you have to respect that. You know, you parents out there, you know what it's like when you try to tell your children, because of your experience and your love for them, please don't do this, or be careful when you do that, because you're setting yourself up for this or what. You know, what happens? What happens? Sometimes they listen and don't do, or they do what they should do and don't do what they shouldn't do. And other times they just say, oh, you're just an old person. You don't know what you're talking about. It's heartbreaking because you see them heading for disaster, but you really can't force them, not easily anyway, to do what you know is best for them. Well, God, that's a mirror in a way of God's relationship with us. Loves us, wants the best for us, teaches us through scripture and through other people how to live, how to have peace, how to have joy. But we go off on our own way. And it's never good. It's never good. However, he's still there. He's still in control. He allows things to happen for a multitude of reasons. One of them is, and you've probably heard this before, for a greater good to come out of it. All right? Some horrible things can be happening, but in the end, when things get back on track, really beautiful things come. And good lessons have been learned, if we bother to study them. During the pandemic shutdown, I was very privileged to find online a Zoom retreat. It was a 3-day retreat from Rome on various things, and you know, including you know God's will and all that sort of thing. And one of the priests that was there said, "There's not God very rarely actually punishes." Because at the time, people were thinking, oh, a pandemic, well, God's punishing us for our wickedness, blah, blah, blah. And he said, he rarely, rarely punishes. He chastises a lot. And he said the pandemic was a chastise. It was actually an allowance out of love for things to go really, really bad, with the hopes that we would realize we weren't God and science wasn't God and our politicians weren't God and everything, and that we would come back to him. And chastisements are actually done out of love. Punishments are done out of anger and sometimes necessity. But that really made me ponder about chastisement, because really in so many ways, so many things that happen to us in life are really learning experiences, and sometimes they can be really, really difficult and seem impossible, and when it's done, and when we experience things on a worldwide or nationwide level, it's really, you know, being allowed for a multitude of reasons. Sometimes it is because we have really turned our back on him. Other times it's, well, you know, some of the people are not faithful, so we need to, I need to, like, let the world get a little funky on of their own devices. He doesn't send, you know, nasty things to us, but he allows things to happen so that the ones who don't believe will come to believe, or at least have a chance to realize that he is God and we are not. I was really distressed during the pandemic because I lived through 9/11, and the churches were packed with people at 9/11. And they couldn't go to church during the pandemic shutdown because the churches weren't allowed to let people in. We really didn't know what was going on at the time. Nobody really knew to what extent this virus could destroy life. It was a very unknowing time, so the churches were shut. And but after the churches opened up, people didn't come back. And it's like, wow. Here we've been given the opportunity to realize that, you know, we need the Lord and we need each other, and people didn't come back. And it was quite shocking to me, but it is what it is. And I don't know what that means to the Lord. I'm sure his heart is broken, but anyway, the whole point is that there's always hope. He is in control, and he never lets things get too far gone before he says, all right, enough already, you know. But he does stand back and wait and wait and wait. And sometimes we really do super destructive things. If you haven't watched, if you're a young person and you haven't watched miniseries or movies about World War II, you need to watch them. They're painful. They're shocking. It's hard to believe that human beings can do to each other what they do. And you see it now in the conflict in Israel, in the Gaza Strip and all. You see it in Ukraine. You see it in Africa right now. Man's inhumanity to man. It's unbelievable what man can do to himself when he gets away from God. Now, what happens when you get close to God? We'll talk about that in a little bit, all right? But basically, God knows what we need, and he's there for us. But if we don't take advantage of that, we don't respond to it, we don't cooperate with it, things don't go very well, okay? So one of the things, though, is we shouldn't be surprised that there's troubles in the world, other than the fact that we've studied history, we know it's gone on forever. But Jesus said in the Gospel of St. John, I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Folks, this is a warning and a promise. He also says many times, don't be afraid, I'm with you always. In fact, the words to the effect of be not afraid are, I've heard this, I didn't count it myself, are in the Bible 365 days, one for every day of the year. Okay, so don't be surprised. We should expect this. It's distressing. It's horrible. It's difficult to deal with. But in the Bible study that I'm leading at my parish, we just started studying the Holy Spirit. And in order to understand the Holy Spirit, you really have to go back in history and see how he has worked throughout history from, you know, the very beginning. When God created the earth, you know. And it's very fascinating. I'm learning new things about him every day. I thought I knew a lot. Well, there's a lot more to learn. And that's one of the wonderful things about studying scripture. You really can't know the Lord without studying scripture, or at least reading it, pondering it. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have a doctorate, all that sort of thing. But in order to know him, you really have to spend time with him in the scriptures. I can't tell you how deep and profound my faith has become because I've studied scripture, well, a lot my whole life, but especially over the last 23 years at my parish. So I encourage you, please, go to the bishops of the United States website every day, USCCB.org. I don't know. Hold on. Sorry. Yes, org. USCCB.org. And click on the little menu thing up top, and you'll see. Well, actually, when you pull it up first, it right underneath the picture, the announcement of the day, it will show you exactly what the readings for Mass are that day. And you can, you know, click on them, pull them up, read them, ponder them. What is Jesus saying in here? Or what is being said here? What advice are we getting for life? What should we do, not do? What our attitudes should be? What's the Lord revealing to us about himself in these scriptures? You know, ponder it. The most important relationship we have in life is with God. It's with him. You know, I used to be afraid to pray for holiness because I thought, oh my gosh, you are just asking for it. You know, this God is just going to like sock it to you and mess up your life and everything, and then you'll grow from that and you'll be holy. No, that's not the way it works. Not the way it works. I would never pray to become holy because I was afraid of it. I tried to be holy. I would work at it. You know, I do my best. But all of a sudden, one day, I just decided I would start praying for it. And oh my gosh, I'm not holy. I'm not kidding you. But I'm telling you that what you receive by saying yes to Him and wanting to be holy is unbelievable. First of all, we were created to be holy. We were created to be in such union with God that He walked with us in the garden every day. Everything, life would be great and wonderful. Well, you know, we're not like that anymore. We have our free will, we sin, and that sort of thing. But to want to be holy is what we were designed to be in the first place. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a boring, hoity-toity, holier-than-thou person that's, you know, oh, I can't do that because I'm holy or I can't want to. No. You learn how to live in life the way that God created you to live. And it's the most wonderful, incredible, awesome way to live. And please, please say yes to holiness. Ask for it. You know, nobody walks around with halos these days, so don't worry about it. But give Him a chance to prove to you that His way is the best way. And it leads to peace. It leads to joy beyond all telling. You know, even in our imperfection, long before we ever become holy, really holy, it's still the joy and the peace and there's no describing it. To get back to, I have to break in a minute, but when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the kind of wars that we see in the world and even the battles in our own personal lives. I want to talk to you about that a little bit. And I also will start off from the next break, after the break, praying for, we have a few prayer requests here. I want to do that and also have to make an announcement. But I'll wait to do that after we talked a little bit about battles and everything. But first of all, never, ever, ever lose hope. There is always hope. We can fret. We can be upset. There's always hope because we always have the Lord. Our hope is not in people. It is in the Lord, the God Almighty. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to break for a little bit. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Don't go away. Thanks.
Have you ever heard of seed faith? The biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history. You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, and I'm happy to spend another half hour with you. We want to start out, we will be talking about battles and war, but in a good way, all right, to where we can understand things and make a difference in the world. But basically, this is prayer time, and I would like to like you to join with me to pray. If you have a prayer request, please call 610-527-2906. Please understand that it's not just me and the crew here praying. It's the entire audience of the Philadelphia Camden area who are listening or praying with us. I don't know if you know this or not, but I looked into this after Kathleen asked me to volunteer doing this. The Philadelphia area is the fourth largest radio market audience in the entire country. Fourth. When I first read that, it scared me, but I'm okay now. But that tells you, if you have prayer requests, call in, because all these people listening will definitely put their hearts in prayers for you. And also, if you, those donations that you give, same thing. You are making it possible to broadcast hope and beauty and love and all the wonderful things of the Lord out into this huge market that so needs it. All right, so thank you for that. Anyway, we're going to pray right now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dearest Lord, we come to you today to bring these prayer requests to you. There's so much need in the world, but we know that you love each one. Each one's precious. You not only look at nations, but you look at every person. And you love every person. You willed every person to be created. You want every person to be in relationship with you. You want none to perish. So, Lord, we come before you in thanksgiving for you being you. You say repeatedly in Scripture that you are the great physician. And you say, I am the Lord who heals you. Sickness and injury and all that is very confusing to us at times, Lord. We want to be able to pray and everybody be healed instantly and life to go on eternally and everything, but it doesn't always work that way. A lot of times we get really awesome answered prayers in ways that are surprisingly miraculous or in ways we didn't expect, and we thank you for that. So we pray for healing of mind, body, and soul of these people that have requested prayer. We pray for your grace to be with them, your presence to be felt. Help them to know that you are by their side. Give them good doctors and caregivers and hope, because with you there's always hope. So I bring before you, O Lord our God, my dear, dear friend Kim. I spent 2 hours with her today. She has very serious cancer and is now in palliative care. And she needs a miracle, Lord, and I'm asking for that for her. She's a young woman who has a lot to give, very faithful. She has a wonderful husband who loves her very much. And I pray for healing for her. I pray for encouragement and real peace of mind for her, no matter where you're taking her, walk with her and give her the strength, and her husband too, to deal with everything. And please, please, in your mercy, heal her. Okay. And then we have a prayer request for Fran. Fran has breast cancer. There's a lot of that going around right now, so I pray for everyone who has breast cancer, but especially for Fran. Lord, find treatments for them, the right treatments for them. Give them good care and excellent doctors and wisdom beyond all telling, and for Kim too. I pray for complete healing of this breast cancer, and that Fran will recover quickly and be back on her feet and able to sing great praises to you, O Lord. And we also pray for Anne, who had a serious fall this past weekend. I know what it's like. I fell down the steps during the pandemic and broke my foot, messed up the other foot, messed up my knee and everything. But poor Fran, she has had 2 major surgeries on her broken legs and is now in rehab. So we pray, Lord, that these surgeries will have completely repaired these wounds and broken bones, and that through rehab and good doctor care, that she will bounce back very quickly and be back on her feet and very healthy soon. Lord, I pray for anyone who's had any kind of surgeries for broken bones or knee replacements, hip replacements, all that sort of thing, that they all will have quick recoveries and no complications, including for Annie or Anne. I think it's just Anne. And we thank you, Lord, for your kindness and how you answer prayers all the time. You know, show them yourself, Lord, so that they can be encouraged and have hope. And we entrust them to Our Lady, and all these prayer requests to Our Lady's powerful intercession and motherly care. And we thank you again, Lord, for your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, if anybody else calls in, we can pray again in a little bit. Some of you know about this. We're going to talk about battles and things like that. Some of you know this already. But if you don't, I'm glad you're listening, because you really need to understand this. Even people that have been Christian all their lives don't understand some of this. There's a big, 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 big joke going around the world these days, and it's called basically, there is no devil. Somewhere I read recently that the devil's greatest passion is to convince the world that he does not exist. You probably don't know this, but Jesus spoke more about the evil one and all of that stuff, you know, hell and that, more than he spoke about heaven. Because if we don't know who he is and what he does, we can fall prey to him and not only be miserable in this life, but lose our salvation in the next. So basically, I want to speak with you a little bit. There are two major battles going on in the world right now. One is like physical battles, wars, where power and egos and hatred and killing and all that goes on. And that's what we're seeing in the Middle East and Ukraine, Africa, various places like that. Then there are spiritual battles. I'm going to read to you. Again, we have to look at Scripture and see what does Scripture say that can apply today. And so St. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, "Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, the powers, and the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, righteousness, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Okay, so we can clothe ourselves in truth. And yes, folks, there is truth. It's not, there's a lot of half-truths, a lot of false truths, truths in quotes, but there is real truth in God. So we have truth. We work for righteousness to try to be the best person that God created us to be in union with his grace. We have to be ready for what we have to face with the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in with us. And in all circumstances, we can hold up our faith, which will shield us from flaming arrows of the evil one. And we can have the Word of God, which is the sword of spirit of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there we have faith. There we have hope. We have an understanding of the evil one wants to battle with us, but he will not prevail if we, filled with the Spirit of God, who is already, as Jesus said, overcome the evil one, we can be strong and stand up to him. Now, Jesus himself said, though, the thief, who is the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So we see the difference between having Jesus in our lives and not having Jesus in our lives. If we don't have Jesus in our lives, the evil one comes into various situations around us, sometimes even to our own conscience and heart, steals, kills, and destroys everything. That's his job. He wants us to be miserable. But Jesus, when we let him in and we unite ourselves with him, he comes to give us life and a full, abundant life. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to good people or to Christians and stuff like that, but it means that with him by our side, We have all the graces we need and all of the leadership and all of the help that we need to have the most amazing life here in this life, and that will also lead to amazing life in the next after we pass into that one. The evil one divides, creates chaos, sows hatred, misunderstandings, etc. The Holy Spirit of God sows love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Which one seems to be in control today in the world? Well, it's pretty easy to see who seems to be in control, because everywhere you look, there's groups of people that are fighting with each other, politicians that are fighting with each other. There's hatred, there's canceling, there's, you know, writing off people just because they don't think the way that we do, kind of thing. It's misunderstandings. It's unbelievable, the things that are going on out there. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And I want to encourage those of you who are listening to say no to that. You be the ones who say no to that, all right? And St. Francis said, "Don't curse the darkness, light a candle." Last winter, you know, that really became very obvious to me. It's really dark in the mornings when my husband and I get up. And in, really dark. And off way far away, maybe five houses away, in the dark, I could see this little candle flickering in the window of one of our neighbors all that far away. This one little tiny lone candle was lighting up in that darkness, and I could see it. So never underestimate the power of a little tiny candle that you are in the world. Okay? And so let's try to be that. And one of the ways that we can do that is there's this virus going around right now. I call it a virus. It's not. There's a lot of critical attitudes. Even something good happens, people find ways to like criticize it. People are assuming the worst about others. They don't trust what people say or do, even their own family members. Let me give you some advice that changed my perspective. Quit focusing on all the bad and focus on what you can do. Don't focus on what's wrong. I'm not saying to ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. No, we all know it's there. Limit how much you read and how much you watch on TV of bad news. Get a feel for what's going on. Pray about it. And then don't let it fill your life anymore. Focus on, okay, I can't, a friend of mine, I'm trying to find the piece of paper where he said, pray, truly live out our faith, and leave what we cannot change to God. Okay? We're worrying and angry and upset over things that we have absolutely no control over. So instead of focusing on that, pray for that. Ask the Lord to intervene. And if there's something we can do, do it. You know, if we need to write a letter to a politician or to somebody, or stand up and march on something because there's injustices being done or whatever, yeah, do that. But primarily, please focus on what you can do. All right. Positive things in our everyday life. Ask the Lord, tell the Lord, I really I want to be a force of beauty and truth and goodness in this world. I want to bring seeds of that into all of this misery. Help me to do that. Show me how to do it. Lead me with your spirit into situations where I can love someone who's not loved, hasn't been loved in a long time. Listen to someone that nobody wants to hear. Serve someone, a neighbor or a sick friend or something like. Bring this beauty and truth and into the world. There's so many ways that we can help. And it's ask the Lord to take away your critical attitude if you have one. We all need healing from that. Something happened to us over the last few years because of the political scene, because of the pandemic, because of not having roots in the Lord. You know, we've just been tossed around here and there and everywhere. What's woke today is dead tomorrow. So basically what I'm saying is, you know, the Lord says, and it's upcoming in this Sunday's gospel reading, you know, it basically, I'm going to tell you just a little. The Pharisees are asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What law is the greatest? And he says to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and prophets depend on these two commandments. Well, folks, you know, I was thinking about that, and I think it just basically comes down to the golden rule. Some of you don't know what that is. The golden rule is simply, it applies to others. Obviously, the Lord wants that relationship with us. We need to seek him, to go to Mass, to pray. If you're Catholic, go to confession. Get that all cleaned up and obtain the grace that the Lord gives you in that wonderful sacrament. Get back to church. Make friends there. Surround yourself with people that can encourage you, and you can encourage them. It's just a wonderful place to be, even in its imperfections. So we get closer to God, or we seek to be closer to God. But our neighbor, the golden rule is, Jesus said this, not me. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Right? It's not do to others what they have done to you. In other words, if somebody harms you or is mean to you or is awful to you or whatever, okay, I can be mean and ugly and bad to them. Jesus said that we're supposed to pray for our enemies. Well, enemies are not just enemies in battle. Enemies are people that we have issues with, conflicts with, you know, who have hurt us, who've injured us, who have disappointed us, broken our hearts, you know. We've all got people like that in our lives. But he says, you know, pray for your enemies, love your enemies. How do we do that? We ask God to give us that kind of love. That is supernatural love that only comes from God. It's impossible on our own. Absolutely impossible. And it's just treat others the way you would want them to, you know. It kind of wraps up the Ten Commandments. Don't steal. Well, do you want someone to steal your stuff? No. And even if somebody steals your stuff, you do the right thing. You don't steal, and then you've done your part towards making the world a better place. Don't commit adultery. Adultery rips families apart. It rips your soul apart. You know, stay faithful no matter what. And you will reap the benefits of obeying God. You won't be doing to others what you wouldn't want to be done to you. You do the right thing and give yourself to the Lord. He will. And this is not just for individuals. This is for nations. Nation leaders, don't do what you shouldn't do. Do to other nations what you wish them to do to you. Find ways to work together to quell these conflicts. Same thing, you know, it's like all of the commandments are wrapped up in love of God and love of neighbor. I'm going to share one little thing that happened to me. I pray all the time that the Lord will give me His love for others, because my love stinks. And so I was on the beach with some friends in Delaware one time, and I always, when I go away, I always use that time to be a kind of little retreat. And so I was on the beach. We were just sitting around talking and enjoying each other and talking with other friends on the beach. And all of a sudden, something came over me. I looked around and I saw everyone I looked at. I saw the potential of every person in the, it was a little taste of God's love for them. And how He sees them. He doesn't see everything that's wrong with them. He sees everything that's right with them and what He would give them if they would just say yes. That's the kind of love that I want forever. Please pray for that kind of love, those eyes to see others the way that He sees them. Okay? It was just the most extraordinary experience, and it only lasted about 5 minutes. But I want that back again. Pray for it, folks. Pray for it. Then we can understand why Jesus did what He did and how much love was really there. Anyway, I have to end up now. But this coming Monday, October 30th, from 6 to 9:30 p.m. at the Malvern Retreat House, Kathleen McCarthy is going to be doing a retreat on spiritual warfare. In other words, what we've been talking about today, about how the enemy targets our families and how to stop it. Okay? I'm telling you, I've been to a number of these retreats over the last couple of years, and what you will learn there will be invaluable. You will come away with tools and weapons, so to speak, that will strengthen your families, strengthen your faith, make your surrounding area safer. And Kathleen, you know Kathleen, she's amazing. She has the experience and the understanding of all these years and the revelations of the Lord in her heart that can really, really change this, give you a great experience of knowledge and power. So please, in your mercy, I mean, in your greatness, sorry, I'm losing my mind. I'm trying to rush. Please go online to salvationofsouls.net, all one word, salvationofsouls.net. It's a completely free thing, but you have to register because I need to know how many people are going to be there for seating and everything. It's completely free. Grab a friend. If you're afraid to go by yourself, call somebody and say, let's go to this. Can you drive me? You know, go, please. You will not regret it. Salvationofsouls.net. Okay? And God bless you. Thank you for your patience with me. I'm new at this, and I'm learning, and I'm thrilled to share these wonderful things with you. God bless you. See you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.